Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Yes, mighty one, mighty one, we worship you. Yes, mighty one, mighty one. For I've tasted and seen your goodness, and I stood in the power of your presence. For I felt the depths of your mercy, and oh, how your love it always surrounds me. Oh, mighty
one,
you are
mighty one. We worship you.
Strong and mighty, you are Lord.
Mighty one, mighty one. We worship you.
For I tasted and seen your goodness, and I stood in the power of your presence. For I felt the depths of your mercy, and oh, how your love it always surrounds.
For I tasted and seen your goodness, and I stood
praise and all my love for you. Good evening, and welcome to Starbright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. That song is so powerful. I could have just stayed there in the presence of God. Father, my God, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory. We worship you. We adore you. There's none like thee. We thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, what you're yet to do. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father and my God, for all that you're yet to do, all that you've done, for your presence. For your presence, Father and my God, we thank you. We thank you that your promises are yea and amen. We thank you that you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Father and my God, King of Kings. We give you the glory. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. 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 We give God the glory. You know, we're in that transition period, and sometimes it can feel very discombobulating, and you're not quite sure. You're believing for an outcome, you're believing for something to shift, you're believing. We know this month, the season is changing. We can even just tell physically the season is changing. You know, I left the home this morning in my winter coat, and I felt a bit and being a bit extra. Later on in the day, I found that, thank you Holy Spirit, because I wasn't being extra. The wind and the rain, you know, it's only a winter coat that can keep that bait. So in all these things, we want to say thank you, Lord. And in the transition, when we're going from one season to another, sometimes things are not quite defined. But I want us to know that God is on the journey with us, and the things that we can do, there's as I've been saying to you, I'm in a process and I'm towards the tail end of it. And one thing that came to me today is that, you know, I was thinking about something. It's the names, and I have been looking at the names of God, but I want us to know that a name provokes a reaction. So I'm going to use myself as an example. So when someone calls me mum or mummy, it provokes a reaction. It pulls on a part of myself. When someone else calls me auntie, it pulls on a part of myself, but not the same part. Okay, when the grandma of Starbright calls me, that pulls a different part of me, but it's not all of it, is not the same. When someone else refers to me as their friend, it pulls a different part of me. When someone else is referring to me in a different, like cousin, there's a pulls. I have a friend, she's not really a friend, I call her cuz. When she calls me cuz, it pulls. It's a certain aspect to me that she draws. There's a certain aspect that draws out from that. And there's when someone calls me mum, there's a certain pull and inclination. And the person that calls me mum is going to get a different response when they're asking for something than someone that calls me auntie and is asking for the same thing. It's a natural inclination, something that pulls from me. But also it's the other way around. There's something that I will draw from them that is different from each one. So the grandma of Starbright has a different expectation of me than the auntie of Starbright, who's my sister. She has a different expectation of myself. So are some of the people that come. Everyone will have a different expectation. And that is what is so powerful in a name. And you might think, well, no, but I want you to really think about it. Think about it. There's some people that will get you to do something, and you might think, I'm exhausted, but when they ask, you're gonna come out of yourself to do it. And there's some people, you're exhausted, and they may ask you the same thing, and you're not gonna do it. Okay? It's because everyone has a different connection. Now, I want us to look at that, rightly or wrongly so, that is the draw. So when someone refers to me as a mum, it draws something from myself. When someone refers to me as a grandma, it draws something of myself. When someone auntie, it draws a different aspect of myself. When I look at someone and I refer to them in a certain way, that it draws something. They have an access that somebody else may not have. You may like it, you may not like it, but it's the truth. That's the power of the name. Now, I want us to look at some of the names of God, because it says, at the mention of his name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. What name are we drawing upon in that moment, in that time? What name? What name are we drawing? What name are we calling upon? Because as a person, we might have a name: son, father, uncle, brother, cousin, distant relative. We have different relationships. A name has a different relationship regardless of it. Some, when you're married to someone, that is a different relationship. There is a relationship there that is different from when you're not married to them. And it's very hard to describe, but it's a different, even by law, it's people are seen differently. Whether we like it or not, it's seen differently. So that name, those names, even by the world standard, it draws something different. Let alone the names of God. And yes, we call upon the name Jesus, but there's an aspect of Jesus that we need to draw, depending upon what is happening. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. I just want to, because it's just come to me. I was going to go to Abraham, but when Jacob was wrestling, and I'm just going to have a look. And Jacob was wrestling with the angel and said, even asked what the angel's name was. Okay. And then his name was changed. I'm going to have a look. I'm going to look for it. But his name was changed. And because he drew upon something different, there was a drawing upon something. Now, I'm going to have a look at that, because that is very important as it's come to me. Okay? But there is one of the names is Adonai. And if we go to Genesis 15, verse 2. But Abraham replied, oh, let me go from verse 1. Afterwards, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and reward, and your reward will be great. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings? when I don't even have a son. Since I don't have a son, and it talks about the servant will, but Abram referred to the Lord there as sovereign Lord. Some versions say master. He drew upon like a respect. Master, Lord. He referred to God in a different aspect. You know, and he was depicting God, because he said, you could have said, oh God, I don't have, but he said, oh sovereign Lord, to depict there is a difference in this. I want to say something, you know, one version says, King James says, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Lord God, O sovereign Lord. Now, the Lord knew that Abraham was afraid and just confirmed it by saying, don't be afraid. I'm going to do something, but I don't want you to be afraid. Tree of Life says, my Lord Adonai. Adonai. So it's a name. When you are making a petition about, like, you could say reverential fear, when you're having that petition before the Lord and want to draw upon an aspect of God. Now, some of you might think, well, I just call upon Jesus. Okay? But what aspect are you looking at that time? What aspect are you drawing upon? Because, yes, it says at the mention of his name. What are we drawing upon? Because when, if I refer to, I'm giving myself as an example, it draws something. You know, it pulls upon an aspect of the Lord. And I hope I'm communicating that. I need you to know that in depending on what you're going through, in there's an aspect of God you want to draw upon. His mercy, his grace, his goodness, his forgiveness is all different characteristic traits of God. And in this transition period, we're all going through different parts, and I want us to tap into the parts that is appropriate for us. You know, I don't want us to, oh, I'm just calling. No, what are you drawing upon? What are you drawing? Because the Lord reminded me that there's something you're seeking God, but have you asked in this way? Have you, and I thought, there is a name that will draw that thing into being. Now, I was talking about Jacob. Now, it says in Genesis 33, verse 22. During the night, Jacob got up and sent his two wives, two concubines, and 11 sons across the Jabbok River. After they were on the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until dawn. When the man saw that he couldn't win the match, he struck Jacob's hip and knocked it out of the joint of at the socket. Then the man said, let me go, for it is dawn. But Jacob panted, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What is your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. Said, your name will no longer be Jacob. The man told him, it is now Israel, because you have struggled with God and men and have won. Then what is your name? Jacob asked. Why do you ask? The man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, face of God. For he said, I have seen God's face to face, yet my life has been spared. And the sun rose as he left Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Okay. Now, this is a place that he wrestled with an aspect. He wrestled to that which he was fighting. He was, if you read the story earlier, he was concerned that his brother, because of how he got his wealth, how he got the blessings, that he was concerned his brother would kill him. So he decided, you know what, I'm going to send possessions to the brother one by one, crossing over, because he decided at one point he was going to go home. He's going to send possessions one by one. Then he decided that, right, he will send his wives, concubine, children across, and he wanted, you know, and the possessions. And he, it's almost like he stripped himself bare of everything that he had gained from that. He stripped himself bare and he wrestled. He didn't, when the man came, he didn't say, oh, well, okay, this is my lot. You know, I'm just going to succumb to it. He decided, no. I am going to go through this. I'm going to actually fight. I'm going to fight. Now, there are periods of our journey that we have to really dig deep and fight. Fight for that which God has spoken about, because there was a blessing. Fight for that which God has said, because even if you might think, I'm not sure. Look at the people of Israel, my favorite people in the Bible. When they were going, God had promised them the promised land, which is even from this. This is the beginning of Israel. But God had promised them the promised land. Okay? But they, it wasn't like as they were walking, everything was cleared. They had to battle through. An old way of thinking, battle through, and each time they saw God as their provider. In the desert, he promised them their clothes would not wear out, things, this was, he provided. God was their provider. They saw and experienced God win their battles. They experienced God who gave strategies. And now, one of the strategies was, you know, when Moses was tired, he dropped his hands, they were losing the battle. Then the people realized that, right, when his hands were up, they were winning. So two people, one on either side, lifted his hands and they were winning. They saw that, they drew upon the fact that God has strategies. He has direction. They drew upon the fact that God has provides. He will provide all your needs. They drew upon different aspects of God. That is the power of the names of God. So whatever is going on, we need to draw upon it. Now I'm going to read another version. Let me see. This is King James. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. Excuse me. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over. Excuse me. And sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Wow. And there wrestled a man until the breaking of day. That was a long time, you know. How much are we wrestling with the things of God that God has spoken? You know, God has spoken. How much are we fighting? How much are we wrestling with it? How much are we drawing on the appropriate name? Now, I say these things because, you know, when you're in that transition, there is a tendency to think, oh, let me just go for what is sure. Oh, let me just go for this. Because that transition is a lot of uncertainty. We're not 100% sure. And in reality, what is 100% sure? We're not maybe 90%. We're not even sure. And we don't want to be that double-minded person, because they're unstable. It says the word unstable in all their ways. But in that transition, we can be a bit double-minded. And sometimes you think, no, it's going to be okay. Sometimes you think, oh, I'm really scared. I don't even know which way is up. So we have to be aware. We have those emotions. But in those emotions, we need to just tap in and draw that appropriate name to stabilize us. Now, there's El Elyon, the Lord Most High. Genesis 14. Now, you're going to find that there's a lot of names of God in Genesis because, like I said, within the desert, they experienced aspects of God that they hadn't. And it really, because there was not a need, okay? Because remember, He supplies all our needs. He supplies all our needs. So 18 to 20. Okay. Right. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, brought him bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abraham with a blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has helped you conquer your enemies. Amen. So there was a blessing, but God there was referred to as God Most High, the Most High God. I'm going to look in a different translation. The God Most High. Right, let me look in a different translation. Okay. Let me look in a different translation. I feel like saying talk amongst yourselves, but that doesn't work on the radio. You know, I think I went to the wrong verse. Oops, nope. Keep going to the wrong chapter. Right. Okay. Talk amongst yourself. Talk amongst yourself. How was your day? Right. Okay. From 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Now, possessor, creator, possessor is a different aspect of God. So creator is, you know, gives that as a word names, creates, but possessor holds, owns, you know, in control of it. So God creates as in control and owns. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hands. And he gave him tithes of all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. So we've had a look at the Lord Master, and we've had a look at God Most High. So we're going to look at Isaiah. So we're going to a slightly different book, Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Now, I may be pronouncing these words incorrectly, but please let grace abound. You know, Hebrew is not my language, so please let grace abound. El Olam. Olam? El Olam. The everlasting God. There's aspects that we need to draw upon the everlasting God to be made present. When last did you call upon that everlasting God to be made present? In your situation, in your circumstance. Sometimes we're doing it all by ourselves. So, excuse me. You know, I will not be coughing all day. And I come here, I'll be coughing. But we continue. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Okay. Isaiah 40. So, Isaiah. Beautiful. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Wow. He gives strength. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So when you want strength in your life, we need to call upon the everlasting God to be made present. For that present, that power to be made present in your life. Now we're going to take a break. And after the break, we're going to be looking more into this. We'll be back after the break.
At the mention of your name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that you are Lord. Can you help us say that? 'Cause at the mention
of your name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that you are Lord.
You are Lord. 'Cause at the mention of your name,
at the mention of yeah. your name, every knee must bow,
every knee,
every tongue confess,
yeah.
that you are Lord.
Sickness has to bow, and at the mention of your name,
every knee,
every knee
must bow,
every tongue confess. Yes, you are. Oh, 'cause Jesus, Jesus, you are Lord.
Oh, oh,
it's just that easy. Jesus, you are Lord.
Jesus, you are Lord.
Yes, you are. Yeah. The sound is so sweet.
Jesus,
you are
Lord.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
At the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord. So at
the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord. Say Jesus, you are.
Together we say
Jesus.
Go and invite him in.
Jesus.
He'll meet you at your need.
Welcome, he's welcome, Lord, welcome back. And we're looking at names, and we're now in Genesis 17. Now the name we're looking at is El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. And I'm going to read the scripture, because this is an aspect of, you know, God revealed that he's not constrained by time, earthly time. And that is the name that, you know, was made activated in this. So when people have said, well, it's too late, we need to draw upon that name that is not constrained by earthly time. You know, when Abram was 9, now I'm going to go back a bit, because it says in chapter 16, verse 15, so Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old at that time, because that seemed kind of important. 86. So 13 years later, we are now in chapter 17. Okay, because, and you might say, why am I being so precise? Because it says, when Abram was 99 years old. So 13 years had passed. The Lord appeared to him and said, it doesn't mention that God had appeared to him in those 13 years. For all we know, it could have been 13 years of silence, you know. But we're going to look at this. I am God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to make you into a mighty nation. He was 99 years old. Okay. At this, Abram fell face down in the dust. Then God said to him, "This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of not just one nation, but a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Now you'll be known as Abraham." Abraham. Now, Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of many. So it gives that name, because remember, we're looking at names. That name is significant. So when people are calling Abram, exalted father, can I do this? Exalted father, can I do that? Exalted father, can we do? But when they start calling Abraham, they were saying father of many. They were declaring father of many. Can I do this? Father of many, where are the sheep? Father of... So even if he didn't want to get it, the name was drawing an aspect of faith in him. And that's why the names are so important. So what name is being activated? And I say it's very important what name we use, even over ourselves. You know, it's nice to use a nice name that sounds beautiful and lovely. But what is the meaning of that name? When it's been declared over us, what is it saying? If it wasn't so important to God, he wouldn't have changed his name. He was just saying, well, father is in your name, exalted father. You know, father, his father, it's not like he was called lost to the world and then, oh, not father wasn't there. Well, it's close enough. But God knows that intricacy, that detail is going to boost his faith, his faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. What are we hearing every time? What are we? Because our faith needs to be activated. So we're drawing down. Like if I myself as a human being is moved by the different names I'm called, God even here is showing that the name is very important. Not only it reminds us of who God is, but we're drawing that aspect of God to be made manifest. Now, remember the promise. Okay? It is no longer Abram. Now you'll be known as Abraham, father of many, for you will be the father of many nations. I will give you millions of descendants who will represent many nations, kings among them. I will continue this everlasting covenant between us, generation after generation. It will continue between me and your offsprings forever. And I will always be your God and your God and the God of your descendants after you. Yes, I will give you all this land of Canaan to you and your offsprings forever, and I will be their God. Wow. Wow. Now, I'm going to go on because this is El Shaddai, you know, to the next part. And it's chapter 18. For those who are following. Now, it doesn't say that, okay. It goes on to say in this, you know, because even if you go back to 17 verse 15, then God added, regarding Sarai, your wife, her name is no longer will be Sarai. From now on, you will call her Sarah. So, to give a different aspect that, right, this is who Sarah now is. And I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings will be among her descendants. So many times you remember the promise that Abraham, but Sarah was also given the promise that among her descendants, she'll be richly blessed and the mother of many nations. Because she stood, yes, she faltered with Hagar. But how many of us don't falter? We're still human beings. But it's to get back, get up and get back in it. You know. And she was given a name, etc. And the name is important as well, because God named all these people because it was sending across a message. Now in verse 18, the Lord appeared again to Abraham while he was camped near the oak grove among the Mamre one day about noon. As Abraham was sitting at the entrance of his tent, he suddenly noticed three men standing there. He got up and ran to meet them, welcoming them by bowing low to the ground. My Lord, he said, if it pleases you, stop here for a while. And it goes on and it goes on, you know. And in verse 9, they say, where is your wife? Where is Sarah, your wife? They asked him, in the tent. Then one of them said, about this time, verse 10, about this time next year, I will return. About this time next year, I will return and your wife Sarah will have a son. I will return. God even promised to see them through to the birth. Sarah through to the birth of the child. The name. The name, the importance of the name. Now, I don't know the age of Abram when the three angels appeared, when those three strangers, they call them strangers, appeared. I don't know the age, but when they were first told, not the first time, the last time they were told, it says Abraham was 99 years old. And then it's time later. Was he 100? Was it 1 year, 2 year? Was it a few months? We're not sure. Well, my Bible doesn't say. And I want us to know that he was over that 99 years old and he was moving along. So whatever it was, he was over it. That age, he had been waiting. Now if you go back in Genesis, he started off on the journey in about 75. He waited. He had Hagar, and the son was at 86. Then 13 years later, he was made the promise again and a covenant. It's a promise, but it's more, it's a covenant. It's like it's gonna happen. Then another chapter, it was saying this time next year, so another year was going to be added to that waiting. Now when we're on that journey, because sometimes we don't know the time difference, etc., it doesn't mention in this version how old Sarah was, but one version, once in the Bible, does mention that they were considered as good as dead. know, which is not really, I was, that sticks in my mind because it's not really a nice description of someone if we can't really think about it. But if you think about the fact that when that Abraham was 99 when the covenant was made, and then the angels came, the strangers, I'll call them strangers, and then he said this time next year. So let's say it was maybe another year and a half, 2 years this time next, because it's 9 months. Okay, there was no fast track in that pregnancy. They didn't say the fast track it instant, you know, baby in the hand. It was this time next year. So there was going to be a time. And it says this time next year. So it was a year. So there was going to be a process of renewing and actually getting them into that place that Sarah was going to be. Because he said, the man said, I will come back. About this time next year, I will return to, we can look at it like to strengthen at the end of the journey. And I mention this because that period of pregnancy would have been, I know something, you know, that which you've been believing God for. If you're on this journey, that which you believe in God for, the enemy tries all sorts to get you to, at the beginning of it, to disbelief is happened. You know, that really, you can get a bit of imposter syndrome. Really, is it happened? Maybe, no, it's not happened. I don't know, really. Is it really? Have I really got the job? Are they going to, let's look at it as a job. Have I really got the job? Is it going to, you know, I don't know. Did I get the job? Let me wait for the letter of confirmation. They've called me. They may change their mind. You get the letter, you start. Sometimes it can take you a year to really settle into the rhythm of the job. Now, being pregnant, every stage, there is a promise. Pregnancy is a promise of the fulfillment of the end. It's a promise. Okay? You're not at the end until the baby is born. It's a promise. And all sorts of thoughts would have been going through Abram's mind, Sarah's mind, about what is the baby going to look like? Is this promise going to see? Faith could have been wavering at some times. And some of you might think, well, how dare I say that? But if we look, there were times that Abraham said, is it going to be my servant? We looked at that. That's going to inherit. So, but they stood. They stood. Now, I want us to call upon that name, El Shaddai, to help us in this season. Because we need to draw upon that name, El Shaddai, to be the Lord God Almighty that says his word, says his promise, and will come back this time next year, and there'll be a change. You know, I really believe that God is able to see us through till we're holding the promise. We've seen the physical manifestation, and in that transition period, it's so easy to give up, to say, God, is it going to happen? It's not yet tangible. You know, I don't know. Is it really? But I want us to pray and ask God. Father, my God, King of kings, Lord of lords, we draw upon that name, El Shaddai, God Almighty, to be made manifest, to help us through to the physical manifestation of the promise. Lord, there might be some of us that you want us to stand in faith, even at the beginning, because Abraham didn't see the nations, but he saw the beginning, and he still hoped and believed in the end. Lord, wherever we are in the journey, we ask that you will encourage us. You will fill our hearts and our minds to keep on going, to right to the end, Father of my God. Help us not to give up. Help us not to lose hope. Help us, Father, my God, not to throw away the blessing because it's become too hard. Help us not to believe the lies and suggestions of the enemy, because he's been a liar from the beginning and he's just continuing lying. Father, my God, help us to recognize the truth. Lord, the strangers came and declared, Father, my God, help us to hold on to the promise. Abraham held on. Abraham held on. And we want to hold on because we know you are doing it all by yourself. Daddy, we're truly grateful. We're truly grateful that you've seen us thus far. And we trust and know that you're seeing us to the very end. King of kings, Lord of lords, Adonai, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I want us to use this and look up the different names of God and call them into your situation. There's so many names of God. There's so many names of God. Jehovah Nissi, you know, the banner, the victory, the Lord our victory, the Lord our banner. You know, the one Jehovah Rapha. If you need a healing, Exodus 15, look at that and call upon that name to be made manifest. You know, we need to, if you need peace, your mind is just to in and froing, ask for Shalom, Jehovah Shalom, to be made manifest. The Lord is peace. We need to call upon these names. We really do. And I encourage you to, because, you know, when the Lord posed a question, because this is how the Holy Spirit does to me sometimes, poses a question, and I think, no, I've not done that, or I've not actually seeing that, I want to pose that question. Call upon the name. Research a name, stand upon the scripture, and call upon that name in your life. Until next week, have a blessed, wonderful, and glorious week. And bye for now.
Other gods, we lay your ground and worship you. Oh, be lifted above all other gods. We lay our crowns down and worship. Lord, have worship.